On the morning of December 25th, 1776, Continental soldiers woke up in their camps along the Delaware to frozen, snow-covered ground. Weather conditions worsened, and temperatures continued to drop throughout the day. Late in the afternoon, the Continentals left their tents and began to form along the river in anticipation of the night's events. Washington kept almost all of the details of the crossing a secret. As a result, none of the soldiers knew anything about their upcoming mission. An excerpt from MountVernon.org's article on the crossing of the Delaware. My name is Becca Reiswig, and you're listening to So That's What Happened, a podcast where I share some of my favorite stories. History is full of engaging and fascinating topics, whether we go back to the dawn of time or only a few years ago. So settle in as we explore one of my favorites. It is once more December. We have entered the lull between Thanksgiving and Christmas that really isn't much of a lull when you take into account all the things that need to get done. That being said, I have decided to take the last half of December off to give myself time for preparations for my celebrations and the actual celebrations themselves. This means today's story will be the last of 2021 for So That's What Happened. My other series, The Legend Says, will be getting another episode next week before going quiet for the rest of the month as well. Thank you all for listening to me talk this year, and a special thank you to those of you who have been supporting me on Patreon. I hope you've learned something this year, and I'm excited to continue delving into history in the next. Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, or whatever you might celebrate, and a Happy New Year. When trying to decide on a topic for this story, I knew I wanted a Christmas tale, if only in so much as it takes place on Christmas Day. So I started scrolling through a list of events that happened on December 25th. There were a lot of options, but George Washington crossing the Delaware jumped out to me. So that's what we'll be looking at today. For anyone who has forgotten or maybe never really studied the American Revolutionary War, the crossing of the Delaware River from Pennsylvania to New Jersey was a small portion of a multifaceted plan that resulted in a victory for the rebel forces in the Battle of Trenton. The act has been commemorated in many ways, but perhaps the most well-known is the painting Washington Crossing the Delaware by Emanuel Lutz in 1850, 74 years after the events transpired. The original painting was displayed in Bremen, Germany, and was also destroyed there during World War II by an Allied bombing run. Fortunately, Emanuel had painted two others, one of which is on display in the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, and the other is in the Minnesota Marine Art Museum in Winona, Minnesota. Odds are good that you have seen this painting in some form already, or at least a spoof of the image. It depicts George Washington leading his forces in small rowboats across the frozen waters of the Delaware, flag held behind him. His companions are likely meant to represent the diversity of people fighting for their new nation, including a Scotsman, a black man, a frontiersman, a Native American, or possibly a backwoodsman, farmers, and a figure that may have meant to be a woman. To understand the importance of the crossing of the Delaware and what followed, we should start by taking a look at how the Revolutionary War had been going up to that point. As David Fisher points out in his book, Washington's Crossing, as spring approached in 1776, Americans had many things to celebrate. Their revolution had survived its first year with more success than anyone had expected. In 14 months of fighting, the Americans won many victories and suffered only one major defeat, an epic disaster in Canada. The Revolutionary War can be said to have begun on April 19, 1775, in Lexington and Concord, in Massachusetts. News spread and colonists flocked to Cambridge, forming the beginnings of the Continental Army, the Minutemen. By November, the British worked to limit the number of enlistees by offering freedom to slaves who joined them. Conversely, the fledgling Continental Army actively discouraged enlisting black men. George Washington, who was a man of his time and social station, at first banned black men from joining the forces, but soon switched his stance to allowed, but not looked favorably upon. In the first major skirmish, the Battle of Bunker Hill, the colonists, about 1,000 strong, successfully held back British forces numbering around 2,200. Casualties, both injured and dead, were nearly half on both sides, with 100 rebels dead and 300 injured, while over 200 of the British forces were killed and another 800 injured. Not everyone wanted the revolution, though Loyalist activity did quiet following the Battle of Moore's Creek Bridge. The Loyalists of North Carolina were led by the Royal Governor, British Colonel Donald McLeod, as they marched towards the coast to meet up with other Loyalists and British forces. They received word that a group of revolutionaries were positioned ahead of them at the Moore's Creek Bridge, but decided to continue on anyway. they were quickly dispatched. Most of the skirmishes and battles continue in this vein through the summer of 1776, save for the disastrous invasion of Quebec. While there were several victories in the beginning, it ultimately ended in failure. The revolutionaries laid siege on Quebec City in December of 1775 through March of 1776, though by January the main revolutionary forces had already been defeated, leaving a small force under Benedict Arnold to actually carry out the rest of the siege in winter. In an extremely early instance of biological warfare, civilians with smallpox were sent out of the city and into the besieging army's camp, infecting around 5,000 men. During the initial battle, Benedict Arnold was injured, and it is possible that the injury and catastrophic loss in Quebec may have contributed to his later betrayal in 1779. By July 4th, 1776, even those who had been hoping for reconciliation with England acknowledged that the time for reform was over. The Continental Congress voted for independence on July 2nd and adopted the Declaration of Independence 2 days later. All who signed were declared traitors of the empire. Not long after, Nathan Hale was executed by British forces on September 21st. He was hung without trial, having been declared a spy. The Continental Army had been pushed from New York by the end of November. The British forces pulled back there to winter, leaving the Hessians, German mercenaries, to chase Washington and his troops across New Jersey, forcing them to ford the Delaware and set up camp in Pennsylvania. The number of men under Washington's direction was in steady decline. Enlistments were expiring. People wanted to go home to their families. Desertions were high and morale was low. Of the 4,000 to 6,000 men he crossed the river with, 1,700 were in need of medical attention, and precious supplies had been lost in the retreat. Things were looking grim. The Hessian forces that were camped across the Delaware in Trenton numbered around 1,400. Washington still had approximately 2,400 men ready to fight. While the revolutionaries had numbers, they lacked the supplies and experience the Hessians possessed. Nevertheless, a plan of attack was made. It called for reinforcements to join Washington's troops, though they never arrived. On December 24th, the boats they had used for the initial crossing were prepared and hidden behind Taylor Island. Unlike the small rowboats depicted in the painting Washington Crossing the Delaware, the boats used were Durhams. These small cargo boats were flat-bottomed, often with one mast supporting two sails. They could be 40 to 60 feet in length and could carry loads of up to 18 tons downstream. They would have been the perfect vessels to transport large groups of men across the icy Delaware. Christmas morning, Washington instructed that the men be outfitted with muskets, ammunition, and 3 days' worth of food. The goal was to set out across the river as soon as the sun set, around 4:30. However, poor weather meant they weren't ready to depart as a whole until 6. The weather worsened as the night progressed. Rain turned to sleet. The river flowed with ice. Amongst the first to make the crossing was Washington himself. He organized his men into a barrier around the landing site to prevent anyone from interfering. By 4 a.m., men, horses, and artillery were ready to move out. The other two crossings scheduled for the night, the reinforcements led by General Ewing and Colonel Cadwalader, never joined up with Washington and his men. Thanks to British spies, the Hessians knew an attack was possible, though they doubted Washington would actually go through with it. Watches were placed. False alarms came all through the night. This, paired with the poor weather, allowed Washington the surprise he wanted, despite the enemy's awareness. As soon as the assembled troops were able to move out, Washington split them into two groups to launch the attack on the Hessian forces in Trenton. Only 3 revolutionaries were killed and 6 wounded, while 22 Hessians were killed, 98 wounded, and 1,000 taken prisoner. Supplies were replenished from the Hessian stocks, and morale was once more good. So that's what happened. Washington's success at Trenton was the shot in the arm the war effort needed. Morale across the colonies was given a boost, and George Washington's position as head of the Continental Army, and subsequently the first president of the United States, was assured. If you'd like to learn more, the book Washington's Crossing by David Hackett Fisher was an excellent resource, along with the website mountvernon.org. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating and reviewing it, as well as subscribing and sharing. I also have another show about the weirder side of our world called So Legend Says. If you'd like to directly help me, you can head over to patreon.com/sothatswhathappened or click the link in the show notes. If you have any topics you'd like to hear me cover or questions or comments about this or past stories, you can send an email to sothatswhathappenedpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find me over on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as STWHpodcast. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods. And it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated. The American Crisis by Thomas Paine.